Emily. That's right. Emily. I can't remember the last time I voiced those three syllables.
Pull her up.
Hands yank at me, jerking me from the arms of the water. Two hands wander up my body, over my feet, my legs, the arch of my hips, my arms, onto my neck, stopping at my forehead. This touch is not like the familiar plying of the boy I love, so fiery that it almost stings. This touch is necessary, cold, perfunctory. Perfunctory, Mrs. Abbott, my sophomore English teacher had pronounced for us students as we learned the word for the first time. P-E-R-F-U, the voice cuts in.
Tell them we have a girl, a teenager. No broken bones as far as I can tell, but looks like she's been out here for hours. Unconscious, but breathing on her own.
His voice muffles as he turns his head.
I think she might be Emily.
Suddenly, a brilliant choir of tenors and baritones and basses burst forth. The Emily? Emily. Yes, that's me. What a comforting thing to hear one's name spoken by those who can point the way home. I breathe in gratitude and descend into the lightness of sleep before a hand touches my cheek again.
You awake, Emily?
The swooshing of the waves calls to me, a reminder that the song of the deep is steady despite all the new sounds. The bustle of work boots, the hum of the boat waiting to turn to life and set out across the open sea.
Your mama's been looking for you, Ms. Emily. You gave us all a fright. You hear me?
The man seems to sense that I can hear his words, while my body remains frozen, despite the warmth of the water and the sun overhead.
You're gonna be okay, sweetheart. Yes, ma'am. You're gonna make it just fine. Got a daughter about your age, and I would have been worried sick if my girl had gone missing for weeks on end. Your mama sure is gonna be happy.
A nasally voice now.
Where you think she's been all this time? Turned into a mermaid?
The boy chuckles.
Hush, Beau.
The man's hand touches my forehead, his fingers sandpapery with calluses.
Now, sweetheart, if you can open your eyes for a sec, I can introduce you properly to the crew. We're getting you help as fast as we can, but you can go ahead and open them eyes before all the medics arrive. They'd be good and relieved to see you looking around.
I try. Oh, how I want to flicker them open. But my head aches, and oblivion pulls harder. The siren call of the void is too tempting to resist.
1. September. Catherine. Catherine Rubisi patted the wilted feathers sprouting from her headdress and frowned.
You look fine, her husband whispered for the third time,
his fingers pressing into the small of her back to remind her that he was by her side, despite the crowd of strangers and the wet warmth of the night air. Another thing she did not like about Galveston Island.
Even on the short walk into the Grand Hall, she was dripping with sweat and swatting at a host of gnats and a swarm of mosquitoes. Did it bother other residents that there were only two ways out of this town? By boat or by causeway. That was it. Unless one felt like swimming, she supposed.
This is just like the PTA fundraisers you helped organize back in Woodhaven, Carter attempted.
Catherine shot him a look.
Gift cards to Woodhaven Diner, a stack of novels from the only bookstore in town, and a photo shoot by a senior photography major couldn't compete with Hawaiian vacations, Italian villas, and puppies. Yes, puppies. Who gives away a living creature to a drunk couple in the corner at the end of an evening? Apparently, Callahan Preparatory Academy, the only private school on this 27-mile strip of land. As she crossed the threshold behind her husband, her eyes fell to the sparkles and silk adorning the women. She had not realized that when one attended the illustrious Callahan Preparatory Senior Auction, one did not just dress according to theme, but also according to designer label. Her costume would have had potential if she'd worn the black Dior gown Rosalind had suggested, and if she'd allowed Rosalind's makeup artist to affix to her head actual peacock feathers with emeralds for